gentlemen, welcome.
Please note that while I am a mental health professional and educator of this podcast and the information shared within it, I intended solely for information, education, and entertainment purposes. The content discussed does not constitute therapy, counseling, or any form of professional mental health services. It should not be used as a substitute for therapy or personalized mental health treatment. If you are in need of support, please consult with a licensed therapist or appropriate healthcare professional. Hello and welcome to Project I Am Mentoring Moments. This particular part of Project I Am Mentoring Moments is designed specifically to guide counseling students through their journey to becoming compassionate and skilled professionals. I'm your host, Dr. David Schloss, and today we're diving into the transformative power of mentorship in counseling. So grab a cup of coffee, get comfortable, and let's chat about these pivotal moments that have potential to really shape our careers. You know, when I think back to my early days as a counseling student, I remember feeling both excited and really overwhelmed. There was so much to learn and so many skills to master. I was excited about becoming proficient in a profession that I really admired and wanted to be part of, but I was also really overwhelmed at everything I had to learn, and overwhelmed because I didn't want to make a mistake. What really made a difference for me was having access to mentors, and that's what I want to talk about today. Those impactful mentoring moments that can really shape our journeys as future counselors. And truth be told, most often it's not just one mentor, but we have a few, right? Because sometimes the journey of mentoring us and the weight of mentoring us is too much for one person alone. So we try to spread the load across quite a few mentors, and that's oftentimes helpful. First, one of the ways mentors really help is they talk about real life experiences, and there is so much power in learning about real life situations because so often we don't find those situations in textbooks, right? I remember one of my mentors shared about a particularly challenging case that they were working on, and they told me about a client struggling with severe anxiety and how they had to adapt their approach multiple times before finding a breakthrough. That was really illuminating to me because it shared with me just how difficult it can be sometimes, and there's not a one size fits all kind of approach that we got to take. I was fascinated to hear how they navigated the complexities of that situation, and it taught me about flexibility and perseverance in therapy. These kinds of stories are gold at the end of the day, because they help us understand how to work with people and how to take different approaches, how to learn effective intervention strategies, and also really how to develop our critical thinking skills. So real life stories are beautiful. The other thing that helps with mentors, or the other thing that mentors help us with really, is self-awareness. And self-awareness is a big one because you don't know how little of it you have until you're in a situation and something is being discussed and you realize, oh, wow, I was just not very aware of myself or my prejudices, my biases, or the mental blocks that I have. And mentors can help us notice those and can help us deal with them in a very empathic way. I remember one session when I had been doing a role-playing class and my mentor said to me, "So David, how did you feel when that client shared their trauma story with you?" It was a really simple question, right? But it made me realize that I hadn't really thought about my own emotional responses. And so it gave me time to sit down and realize how this person's story was impacting me and what I would need to do to not carry it home with me. This led to a deep discussion about managing our own reactions and maintaining professional boundaries while still being empathetic. These conversations about self-awareness are crucial because they help us become more effective counselors, and at the end of the day, they protect our own mental health as well. Let's see, what else should we talk about? Ethics, right? Counselors, mentors help us navigate tricky ethical situations because as new counselors, these can be quite complex and we don't always know what to do. We might be able to Google or go back to a textbook and look up different decision-making models that we could use. But sometimes it's nice to have somebody with us as we do that. After taking ethics as a class, I felt really confused because initially I thought that ethics were very black and white. You know, it was very clear. You just followed the code and you would be good. But the truth is that ethics can be very gray in many, many situations. And applying an ethical decision-making model to a textbook scenario is one thing, but applying it to a real-world scenario with a client sitting in front of you can leave you quite stumped. There was one situation that my mentor shared with me involving a minor client. There were conflicting family dynamics at play and there was potential harm. And I remember applying the ethical decision-making model that I'd chosen to this dilemma and consulting with my mentor and looking at all the different angles, looking at how to make a good decision that was in the best interest of my client while still maintaining all of the ethics of our profession. It was eye-opening and it really drove home for me the importance of consulting. But you can't really consult if you don't have people to consult with. So developing your network is important, developing a network of other professionals, other professional counselors is vital because when it comes to consulting, who are you going to consult with? You can't call someone out of the blue, so you need to have some kind of relationship there already. And if you have a mentor, that's great. You can consult with your mentor, but they're not always going to be available. So you need to develop your network because there really are so many amazing professionals in this field. One of the ways to develop your network and also to find mentors is attending professional conferences. If you go to a professional conference and you know people there already, that's kind of awesome because then they introduce you to other amazing people just like you. And you get to develop these relationships, you exchange phone numbers, you find out if you're in the same city, you find out what those practitioners' specializations are, and that really helps. It opens up your eyes to the diverse career paths in counseling, and it forms the foundation of building your professional network. But I also want to say that building a network isn't always easy, and finding mentors isn't always easy either. You have professors that are busy teaching oftentimes four classes a semester and they're busy writing and they have their personal lives and not everybody has the capacity to mentor someone. At the same time, also sometimes people are open to mentoring us, but we don't really vibe with them. The way they approach counseling is very different to the way we approach it and personality-wise, they might not be a good fit for us. And so do your work when looking for a mentor. Meet lots of people. Find out who you vibe with. Who can you have a good relationship with? And who do you feel safe with? Your mentors will really want to share their knowledge with you. So look for somebody that is generous with feedback, that is generous with giving you tips, that doesn't seem irritated, right, when you approach them wanting to meet with them for coffee. Also, set clear goals in your mind about what you're wanting for your mentoring relationship. You might want to improve your intervention skills. You might want to grow in the same particular niche area that your mentor is in. You might want to learn about a specific theory like internal family systems, relational cultural theory, cognitive behavior therapy. That might be their thing, right? And you want to learn that from them. Well, let them know what you're aiming for. Let them know what it is you want to learn. And then once you learn that, take time to reflect on what you're learning and think about how you can apply it in your practice. Remember these mentoring moments, whether they're formal sessions or casual conversations, sometimes they can be truly transformative and magical. And at the end of the day, they ought to be really affirming. They ought to help shape your professional identity, enhance your skills as a future counselor, and help you believe in yourself that you have what it takes to enter this profession and be proficient. So embrace these opportunities for growth and learning when you find them. You will benefit from it, but so will your future clients. And so I hope that's been helpful for you with regards to the importance of mentoring and also how to find mentors. Don't be afraid to approach people and ask. You'll be surprised at who's out there ready to encourage you and be available to you. Okay, that's it for today's episode of Mentoring Moments on Project I Am. I hope that this discussion has inspired you to seek out mentors and make the most of mentoring opportunities in your counseling journey. Until we chat again, keep learning, keep growing, take care of yourself. Remember, self-care is an ethical mandate. And remember that every great counselor that you look up to was once a student, just like you. Okay, take care, everybody. Until I chat with you next time, may you be well.
Weather today will be glorious. Put on your sunglasses, sunscreen, and sun smiles. You're gonna love it.